Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, March 30th, 2017. And this says before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a chilly 38 degrees, mostly cloudy here in upstate New York. And I just pulled up my weather map on my phone. And it looks like there is a huge mass of rain and storms headed directly our way. So where do we leave off on Tuesday before my machine got hijacked while reading about the NSA? We titled the show Bell Labs, AT&T, NSA, and the Military Industrial Complex. We talked about a bunch of things over the last few weeks. We looked at some frequencies and weaponry that they are using. Potential frequencies for some of the hardware that they are using these frequencies for, some of the potential things that they can do. We ended the show, well, we looked at some of the companies behind it, Bell Labs being one. I actually just found on Amazon, they tricked me into buying Amazon Prime last year or the year before. I think it was last year where you know, they're like, oh, free shipping for Christmas. And you got 30 days. And then, of course, if you don't cancel it, we bill you. Well, of course, I forgot to cancel it, and they billed me. And there were no refunds, so I was kind of annoyed about that. But then I was like, well, it's all right. I get free shipping then. And any of my vitamins or whatever I order. But I discovered last week that with Amazon Prime, there is an entire video library that you have access to for free. There's all kinds of stuff. That's where I found that Humans TV show. By the way, I caught up to current where they are, and it was all about the not too distant future when we have human-like androids in every pot as home helper robots, and they should be your best friend. And even funnier still, in the intro itself, is they're showing all these flashes of all the different robots we've talked about. I mean, there were all these different models. They even had Atlas getting pushed over in the warehouse from that experiment in the intro. But one of the things that they had in there that made me kind of chuckle was they were doing like a sweep across a new newspaper headline, and it says, your new best friend. It's exactly how they're going to sell it to you. But anyway, so I was checking out what they hit on Prime Video, and like I said, that Humans series, I think season 2 is available right now on AMC, and if you have cable service, you can punch in your online watching code, and you can get it on AMC as part of your cable, but you might even have it on demand. But I found there was a whole documentary section on Amazon as well, of free videos for Prime users. And there was a whole bunch of stuff on like the history of surveillance in the United States. There was another one about who actually runs the country. And the picture on the front of the movie or the documentary was like two hands holding puppet strings over the White House. So I kind of raised an eyebrow. It surprised me that stuff like that would actually be like in the mainstream free database of movies to watch. Maybe it's a trick. Don't do it, Joel. But I already started the surveillance one, so now they might target other devices of mine because I know the truth. Yeah, something else I found too. There was a movie, and I think it was the one that Melissa and Aaron Dykes did. I didn't realize that they did it, but it was called Obsolete. And, of course, that caught my attention because of the Twilight Zone episode. And what surprised me, though, because it actually seemed more documentary-ish, I watched probably the first 10 minutes, and they had used tons of news clips and lots showing Obama saying about how the jobs are back, and then all the economists saying this is the worst recovery ever. So it really was kind of a documentary, but it was listed under science fiction. Now, get that one so you have an alternative media group making a little documentary, and they file it way down at the very bottom. It was two before the last, this huge list, and it was filed under science fiction. Anyway, okay, so then we ended on Tuesday looking at some of those abandoned microwave towers in Kansas that AT&T still owned, at least this one in particular, but many of the other ones have been sold to who knows who. We're not really sure. I don't know if Nokia owns them now since they own Bell Labs, or if they sold them at auction, if they gave them to the government as a part of their agreement to, you know, CYA for anything that we do. One interesting thing that I discovered, one of my listeners turned me on to this YouTube channel called RCR Wireless, and they've been hosting some sort of big Internet of Things conference this week, doing all kinds of live streaming videos, and I started watching one of them the other day, and it was interesting because they had one of the lead guys from Nokia on. He was one of three people on this panel that was talking, and of course, he's going all off about the future and the Internet of Things and connecting it all and this whole grid that we're going to have with 5G to be able to connect everything to everything and how wonderful it's going to be. Well, I hate to tell you, if you dig into what Nokia in particular, Nokia, the now current owners of Bell Laboratories, who came up with some of the greatest discoveries, or at least they say, I don't know, we'll have to dig more, but they are credited with coming up with some of the greatest discoveries of the 20th century. That same Bell Labs, now owned by Nokia, is working on a nationwide, if not global, I would say it would probably be global, but at least story I read was talking about in the United States, Internet of Things and Smart City, Smart Everything initiative. Now, I think we're going to try and work through this progression here of what I have lined up. I had to rebuild all my tabs and go through like 2.5 weeks of browser history to find most of my links again. So I think I've reconstructed it. But eventually, I think we're going to end up at 5G and kind of take a look at this worrying new spectrum high frequency. This is going to be in the microwave range still. But then we're talking at about a little bit higher with the millimeter wave and then getting up into the terahertz range. And there were some researchers at Los Alamos Laboratory that found that in some specific instances with terahertz, it causes some sort of resonance within the cell that literally causes the cell to unzip. Now, when you consider that lots of these technologies, they're going to try to make ubiquitous, and in order to make them ubiquitous, there's got to be some sort of network grid in the sky so everything can connect and bounce. And I mean, there's a whole architecture to how they're setting this up. When we looked at this probably about a year ago already, we were looking at some of the network diagrams that were out there about how they're planning on setting up these new propagation networks. But the disturbing fact of the matter is that our entire lives and environments are so bathed in waves from the radio spectrum right now, and they're increasing it even more. And there have been concerns in the past over, you know, some minimalist studies that they have done, a little onesie-twosie here and there for one frequency or technology or another. But I don't know if anyone's literally done any type of full-blown lab experiment to see what happens when people like us today who are out here bathed in all of these radio frequencies at the same time, what kind of effect that has, not just physically on us, on our DNA, on our bodily functions and our heart rate and all those different things in our body that depend on electrical signaling, but also our brains. your brain is completely affected by electrical impulses, and it's got to make you wonder, especially when they're dealing with these frequencies. We saw from the VLF at the bottom of the spectrum at zero, ELF, VLF, all the way up through microwave, and then you get to visible light. That is within the human spectrum. We are interacting with those on a daily basis. That stuff is like, reach out and touch someone type stuff. That's here. It's all over. It's in our houses. It's in the sky. It's everywhere we are right now. We are being touched by those frequencies. And they're all man-made, most of them. So it's got to make you wonder. And I saw something very, very, very sad yesterday talking about sucking us into this machine. There was a, I don't even know where I saw this, actually. I think it was from one of my work friends. I was wondering why he was posting a Nature Valley granola bar commercial. I was like, John, why are you doing that? But I clicked on it. I was curious. I clicked on it because I used to love Nature Valley granola bars when I was a kid. And, the crunchy ones before the days of really horrible preservatives. Yeah, and only three people watched it. Here, I'm going to copy and paste this, and you guys can, if I can open a window and get to chat, you guys can watch this, and I'll put it in the notes. But it was beyond sad that a commercial company, even though they're tree huggers, you figure granola people are tree huggers, even though it was a commercial company, it really scares me now that they've decided that they can speak truth. So they has three generations of people. They had a grandma, they had a mother or a grandpa and a mother, and then they had the little kids. And they asked them what their favorite things to do were when they grew up. And the grandpa says, oh, he used to pick blueberries. It was so much fun. And then the mom, maybe the dad, said, oh, we used to play hide and go seek. And it was so much fun. So we did. And then every little kid they interviewed, oh, my favorite thing to do is to play video games. The other little kid, my favorite thing to do is to send emails. Oh, but I love to send texts, is the sister. The other little kid says, oh, no, the thing I love to do most is just play video games. And at least none of them said kill things on video games. But guys, you could see it in their eyes. Like, it literally made me get teary-eyed to see that. They are sucking us in 100%. This next generation has been groomed to open their arms and accept this coming machine. So, for those of us who aren't young enough to be molded easily, they have this problem of a couple generations still alive who are kind of holding back moving forward. We are the resistant consumers. The day that they want to start putting Android robots into our homes to help us wipe our butts, there's still going to be pushback. But these kids of this new generation won't. They'll be really happy to have their robots that'll sit down and play video games with them. They won't be distressed when there aren't jobs left to work to make a good living, to feel like you've accomplished something. And I know that's really just kind of been groomed into us. That really, I don't see the real reason for work except to keep our infrastructure going. But, if we all, and I don't know, people who say voluntarist society, everybody will help fix roads, everyone will help do everything. In my experience, the majority of the public, and maybe that's just because it's been groomed into them, are lazier than shit. So I don't think I'd be waiting for anyone to go fix my roads if they weren't getting paid for it, or there was something in it for them. Though down in rural communities, I see it's a lot different. If they've always lived that way, if they're all living back in the hills, and it is still kind of, when you go down into the Hill Country, it definitely feels like you're stepping back into where we used to live, where we used to live when we were kids. And I love it down there. There's not a lot of cable, and people don't sit in front of their TVs. You sit outside, you work the garden, people all go to work, then they come home and they milk the cows. It's the way it works. And that's honestly, that's where I feel pretty comfortable. I really don't feel comfortable in the city. I lived in the city for a lot of years in Buffalo when I was in college, and I don't really feel comfortable with even the employment that I used to do building this machine. This machine that we've built has now, what we are living today is the result of that. And the future of what we built does not look like a pretty picture. I think we all need to really try to get back to our roots. And since we are the only thing that is standing in the way right now between the world we used to know and this transhumanist future that people like Kurzweil are promising us, we need to take it back. It was interesting too in that Human show at the very end. We read a story here back a few months ago about children being able to imprint on robots so that they would start taking on some of their traits. And that's a bit of a concern. Where what would happen if a child's best friend or caretaker was a robot? And they started imprinting with that robot, and they would start taking on some of their traits. Well, they even dealt with that in the show. It's interesting. That show did very well dealing with a lot of these ethical issues that we've talked about here and the coming of the robots. But the daughter, the little girl, and actually there were a bunch of kids that started coming down with this new psychiatric disease, and they talked to a psychiatrist, and I don't remember what he called it, but it was a four-letter acronym. And it basically was the child was imprinting themselves on the robot because, they looked up to them as a hero or whatever. And that their only cure was to keep them away from the robots. And I guess they started a town. There was a town that was built where no robots were allowed for people like us, the resistant consumers. So it was just interesting that. Even the TV producers are looking at this technology and kind of feeling a little leery. This might not be in our best interest to be fed grapes and not have anything to do anymore as they give us our universal basic income and our new dolly, as they call it on that show, to take care of us. This land of utopia that they're painting has a really, really dark, scary hallway that's right around the bend once you go in there. So I'd be careful if I were you. All right, so I got that rambling off my chest. So let's get back to where we were the other day. So we were talking about the abandoned tower in Kansas with Fairview written on it. We tried to read about the Fairview NSA surveillance program yesterday, and my machine got hijacked while I was trying to do that, and I had to kill the entire machine to get rid of that pop-up that locked everything up, and then rebuild all my tabs. So we never talked about it. I'm not going back there. So I found something else, though, from the Daily Dot. And this was the definitive guide to the NSA spy programs, as released by Edward Snowden. They talk about Prism, Fairview, Blarney, Stormbrew, Oakstar, XKeyscore, Marina, Traffic Thief, Pinwheel, and Boundless Informant. This story was from 2013, so I'm sure that there's lots more out there now in WikiLeaks Vault 7. But regardless, there's just so many programs now that are out there. I don't know. I don't have time. Hope you do. But I mean, we know that they're spying on us every which way and sideways. I don't think there's really any reason whatsoever to get granular on them unless you're trying to prove something. I mean, I was trying to look at some of this frequency stuff, but I wanted to show you as well that all this frequency stuff was tied to these alphabet agencies and spying in the military-industrial complex for a very, very, very long time. And I know we all knew that, but I don't think we realized the depth and the sophistication. You know, we're like, oh, yeah, they've been recording our calls. But I think it's been more than recording our calls. They've been recording our calls. They've been decoding exactly what our calls say. They've been mimicking our voices. They've been able to, the voice synthesis stuff, we found out since the 1920s, Bell Labs, a.k.a. working with the government, Bell Labs, then owned by the government, Bell Labs, then being commercial again, Bell Labs, then sold a couple different times, now part of Nokia Bell Labs. They have been doing things such as voice synthesis since the 20s. And if you remember 9/11, remember the questions as to how the phone call was made out of the plane? And people were like, well, they couldn't make phone calls out of the plane then. So people were like, well, yeah, maybe they could. The other thing in the seat. And they're like, yeah, but whatever. Well, you know what? It could have been a call. Or, yes, I am pretty certain they could have had the technology to be able to modulate voice from some of the things that I saw that they were working on. If it was in the 20s and that happened in the 2000s, they had 80 years to perfect that technology. So it probably was pretty good by then. Anyway, so this PRISM overview, PRISM by the NSA, perhaps the most infamous, though not the most comprehensive of the NSA's programs, PRISM is geared towards collecting internet data stored by 9 major Silicon Valley technology companies. Oh, okay. So this is not the most comprehensive, but it collects data from Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Paltalk, Skype, YouTube, Apple, and AOL. So I guess they got me in there a bunch of times. Oh, how lovely is that? So when they collect the data, they've increased it year by year, starting, it looks like, in 2007 with Microsoft, Yahoo in 2008, Google in 2009, Facebook in 2009, Paltalk in 2009, YouTube in 2010, Skype in 2011, AOL in 2011, and then Apple in 2012. So, guys, this has been going on since at least 2007. That was right about when this whole movement sort of started. What data is collected? Well, according to leaks to The Guardian and The Washington Post in early June, PRISM collects the following information from customers in the 9 aforementioned tech companies. They collect all your emails. They collect all of your video chats as well as all your voice chats. All of your photos, all of your stored data, all of your voice over IP, live or recorded, all of your file transfers, your video conferencing, and the notifications of target activities such as your logins and logouts, your online social networking details, and any special requests. I don't know what that means. If you make the special requests or they're making special requests. I'm stuck in a picture now, though. Hold on. Come on. Go back. Go back. Go back. All right. How is the data collected? Well, program operates through the secretive judiciary body called the FISA Court. That FISA Court has come up many, many times. It was created in 1978, provided the agency with warrants for private information for both foreigners and American citizens as a matter of national security. Now, we found out AT&T in October of 2001, as well as Microsoft in October 2001, both agreed not to be broken up. Both agreed with a wink and a butt pat and a rub, maybe, that they were going to be friends. You're my best friend with the federal government. And all in the name of national security, you know, we'll cover your back if we need some information from you, but you guys make sure you play nice with us and give us what we want, because there could be lots of terrorists in your midst. It's very disturbing to me. So here, all this time, 2007 at least, and I mean, we can go back to 2001 before that, and then we can go back to like 1997. Bill Clinton was reading about some crazy thing, some agreement he had with AT&T back when he was president, with the spying on the phone calls and that with AT&T. So, and then we go back to that Rockefeller Commission. The CIA spying on everyone all throughout the 50s and 60s and doing human experimentation with LSD and brain waves and things. So, guys, what is new is old. What is old is new again. This has never ended. This all came back from the Cold War, and I still believe that we could probably track a lot of this stuff, a lot of this experimentation at least, back to Operation Paperclip. Frightening. It's frightening. And you listen to old 1980s episodes of Mae Brussels, and you're going to find out that what the government was doing then was just as sordid as what it is doing now. And everybody was buddy-buddy behind the walls. In public, they're playing good cop, bad cop. But they were all doing underhanded things. None of it is in the, for the good of the people, it's all for the good of them. Anyway, so how's the data collected? Yeah, the court, the FISA court, was created in 1978. It provides the agency with warrants for the private information of both foreigners and American citizens in matters of national security. That's why everything's become a matter of national security, because it just gets them through a loophole there. The court has been criticized for its readiness to approve the seizure of such information since 1978. Thousands of applicants have been filed in the courts, and in all that time, only 10 of them have ever been denied. So, hey, Charlie, you want to go out for a beer? Sure. Hey, did you approve those 10 FISA requests I had on your desk? Nope, here we go. I mean, only 10 out of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands, have only ever been denied. For the most part, the all caps name seems not to be an acronym, but simply code words. However, there is an entry for PRISM in the Dictionary of Military and Associated Terms, compiled in 2007 and published by WikiLeaks. And in that dictionary, PRISM is said to stand for Planning Tool for Resource Integration, Synchronization, and Management. And of course, they are going to be managing all of us in a dashboard eventually. And what's disturbing is as they're pulling off our social media, and this was long before we had any idea at what level we were being surveilled. They're profiling all of us. Every single one of us has a dossier, and all this information is going in there. We've talked about including our biometric data, including your DNA swabs and your blood tests and all these other things. They know everything there is to know about you. Any information that is out there about you is in some sort of silo that can be added to your profile. So when they get to that point that they've turned on enough of these AIs, remember we found out that Spectrum Collaboration AI is going to be turned on, where they're able to multiplex thousands of little tiny slices of the pie real time. They're also going to turn an AI on, Mayhem, to be the shape-shifting immune system of the internet, the Sky Sentry, to be able to detect and destroy invaders, to patch holes without any human intervention at all. Guys, as we all become numbers and we all become an entry in the database, and those who are making the decisions are no longer human. They are entities that are reading our data in the database. We have these killer autonomous weapons that all your smart pants out there are saying, hey, we should put a moratorium on these, like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking. There's no need to have autonomous killer weapons out there. But, at one point, these artificial intelligences will be the ones calling the shots, whether or not they're anthropomorphized, whether or not we put them in a tin can body, or if they're the ghost in the machine. I don't think it's going to matter. They'll still be able to take care of you either way. The tin can can maybe come literally take you out physically, but the ghost in the machine can just pull the plug when you're, hooked up to the defibrillator or something. Who knows? I mean, there's just, when I start thinking about all the implications of this, there will be nowhere to hide. I mean, look at where we're at right now with this technology, and we have humans behind all of this surveillance and humans behind a lot of this mad science gone mad. But when it's no longer humans, and I mean, we're kind of at a hybrid right now where we're getting AI to help us here and there. But what about when they're all running the machine? When there are no more humans involved? And the guys who are pulling the strings are just sitting there with their feet up on their desk, not really bored. Because they don't even have to move on the grand chessboard anymore. It's Rust Bucket versus Rust Bucket. And don't think we're the only country that's developing all this crazy technology, the spy stuff and the autonomous stuff and the mind control, psychotronic stuff. It's not just us. It's us. It's Russia. It's China. I'm sure there's probably some rogue nations sprinkled in there somewhere. And add to that CRISPR. CRISPR's a WMD. Actually, I found another movie, and I think this one might have been under sci-fi, but I queued it up to watch. It's called something like 46 or The Perfect 46. It got 5-star reviews from professors at MIT, Yale, Harvard, Weiss Institute. And I was like, uh-oh. If these guys love it, I think I better watch it. And it's all about CRISPR and the future of CRISPR, the potential use for it to be fully a full-blown eugenics program. And I guess the premise of the story is, I don't know, some smarty pants set up a website, a dating website. And as part of joining this dating website, you had to provide your genetic profile. Or maybe your genetic profile was already in the database and they could access it if they knew who you were. But the end result was they were going to pair you with your perfect genetic partner for procreating on this dating site. And I don't know, it looked pretty damn interesting because they were talking like how this was, why we're responsible for the next generation, and why would we have defects when we have the technology now to make everyone perfect. And we've had lots of conversations about that. This perfection, I don't know actually if they're genetically modifying in this movie. Like I said, I haven't watched it. I just queued it up. Not that I have a lot of time, but I've been trying to make late night now at least a half an hour, 45 minutes, just to do something that is maybe not related to research, not related to family, not related to responsibility, but still keeping my mind stimulated with these topics. And in the popular culture, popular media, a lot of places where they try to push out these ideas to the masses to get them used to them. So this is actually a study in psychology, not me watching sci-fi films. Wink. It's true. Anyway, all right. So what data is collected? Oh, wait, I skipped a part. For the most part, the data that is collected is kept for an unlimited amount of time. So we heard the last time there is no drop dead date. Now they had the Fairview program, and this is the one we got blown up on yesterday. In the words of Thomas Drake, the former NSA senior executive who blew the whistle on the agency's reckless spending and invasive surveillance in 2004, Fairview is the NSA's project to, quote unquote, own the internet. Fairview is what Drake called an umbrella program, and it incorporates many different operations, such as Blarney, Oakstar, and Stormbrew, which are discussed below, that intercept massive amounts of international internet traffic by various means. In an email to the Daily Dot, Drake described Fairview as focused on collecting messages and phone calls at the main internet backbone links, as well as the undersea cables and the fiber optic systems. Now, if you remember, if I am not mistaken, that was some of AT&T's original innovations with some of that transatlantic cabling, making long-distance phone calls overseas. And of course, your backbone links are going to be at your big providers, such as AT&T, Time Warner, Verizon, all the big boys who have the big, huge core switches and provide internet. On the slide released in this WikiLeaks release, there is an image of what appears to be North America's submarine cables. And yeah, they run everywhere. How is the data collected? Well, details on Fairview's operation are scant, but it appears that the program works, at least in part, as follows. The NSA partners with who? Oh, the U.S. telecommunications companies that then make agreements with the international companies for their internet data. And they are likely many different means through which the NSA intercepts these companies' information. And based on conversations, the Fairview program also appears to encompass direct link-ups with offshore submarine cables, and it is likely that the former operation falls under the Blarney program. Blarney appears to focus specifically on metadata. And we found out, too, that metadata, even though they said they can't garner anything, we found out later that, well, they can garner all kinds of things from metadata. In early June, the Washington Post reported that Blarney gathers up metadata, which is your technical information about your communication traffic and network devices, as it streams past choke points along the backbone of the internet. Metadata focuses not on the contents, but where and when they are sent. Now, I don't know. Do we really want to look at all these? I mean, it's every which way to sideways. We have been surveilled, and it's not just here. It's all over the world, and this pissed a lot of countries off and also tipped them off to what we are up to. This was from 2013. These programs have been going on at least since the early 2000s, so it's got to make you wonder who else is doing things like this. What other countries are surveilling 24/7 and stealing our data? You know, the Chinese probably don't give a shit about what you or I are doing, but the Chinese probably do care about what a lot of the big corporations are doing that are making tech products. You know, they like to try to, what do they call it, counterfeit? Chinese are really good at that. They love counterfeit products. If they can reverse engineer them, they can make them and sell them on the black market, make bazillions of dollars, while stealing future profits from the owner of that product. So there's probably lots of corporate espionage going on, I would imagine, as well. So an interesting story came out of anti-media yesterday, I believe. By the way, twice, I guess. I saw they tried to call me on Nick's show last night, Nick and DB and Jake. And Thursday night, I didn't realize, I didn't get the message until after the show that Jake and DB wanted me to come on with them Thursday, so maybe I'll have to, I don't know, they're probably on tonight. I'll hit one of them up and see what's going on. Not sure what they want, but I know they both subscribe to the Before the First Cup Facebook page, so maybe they saw some stuff and want to talk about it. I usually don't go on nighttime shows, but I would if you're talking about this stuff. All right, anyway, a story came out of Antimedia yesterday. We had kind of known about some of this as well. But it's interesting that this is all kind of now making new headlines again. And I'm going to tell you, I ran across some really disturbing stuff, and we're going to get there. Probably not today. This time goes so fast. But maybe definitely tomorrow, because it's only 3 or 4 tabs forward. Looking at how expansive the surveillance network is, and I've discovered that one of the things that's been going on here as part of this military-industrial complex, as part of DARPA, is part of the Air Force and some of this DOD technology, this radar tracking and things of that nature, is the Space Command. Space Command ties right in with the Air Force. This is the Air Force Space Command. And they have all these satellites they're putting up there and all these CubeSats. And, of course, that way they're all tied in with NASA as well. And, hey, by the way, in that one documentary I watched, I always said that NASA was the yin and DARPA was the yang. Well, I didn't know, actually. They really, 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 it always seemed like it should have been. They really, 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 really were. NASA was spun off of ARPA, I don't remember when, maybe in the 70s, maybe in the 80s. I don't remember exactly when it was, but in the one documentary I was watching, they mentioned that. Because DARPA, ARPA, what it was pre-known as, was actually doing space stuff. Oh, you know where it was? That book I bought, The Whole History of DARPA. There's a big-ass book on Amazon called The Pentagon's Brain, and I finally started reading it. That's on the coffee table, so in the few minutes I get to go close my eyes, I might actually grab a paragraph or two and then close my eyes for a half-hour nap. But yes, it actually was the same organization. DARPA used to do space stuff. And then they decided to kind of spin that off, and that became NASA. And then DARPA took the deep, dark recesses of the DOD, and the mad science technology as their charge after that. But anyway, back to the Santa Media story. So I've been digging into some of these communication technologies. Bell Labs kind of revealed a lot. We found out that they've been involved in all this stuff, so anything goes. Well, check this out. Santa Media story titled The NGA, the massive spy agency you haven't heard of. I think we covered these guys one time. I'm pretty sure we did, because they had the Argus drone cameras and things of that nature up there doing all this mapping. We also had Google with the Google Maps, and they had all these connections with these different geospatial satellite companies. And they just sold their data off for the mapping capability to someone else, and I don't remember who that was. But hey, we should have known all this stuff is still tied into the surveillance state. If you are one of countless Americans who was distraught to learn of the revelations made by former NSA security contractor Edward Snowden, the mere idea that there should yet be another agency out there, perhaps just as powerful and much more intrusive, should give you goosebumps. Foreign Policy reports that the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, or the NGA for short, is an obscure spy agency that President Barack Obama had a hard time wrapping his mind around back in 2009. But as the president grew fond of drone warfare, finding a way to launch wars without having to go through Congress for proper authorization, the NGA also became more relevant. Now President Donald Trump is expected to further explore the multi-billion dollar surveillance network. Like the CIA and the NSA, the NGA is an intelligence agency, but it also serves as a combat support institution that functions under the U.S. Department of Defense. Ding, 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 ding. With headquarters bigger than the CIA, the building cost $1.4 billion that was completed in 2011. And in 2016, the NGA bought an extra 99 acres in St. Louis, building additional structures that cost taxpayers an extra $1.75 billion. Oh, I'm so glad that our taxpayer money is being put to such great use to build buildings for more secretive spying agencies, just what we needed. Enjoying the extra budget that Obama threw at them, the NGA became one of the most obscure intelligence agencies precisely because it relies on the work of drones. As a body of government that has only one task, to analyze images and videos captured by drones in the Middle East, the NGA is mighty powerful. So why haven't we heard of it before? Well, prior to Trump's inauguration, the NGA only targeted the Middle East or whatever spy satellites orbiting the globe captured. And as far as any of us knew, the agency refrained from pointing its ultra-high-resolution cameras toward the United States. I will guarantee you anything, these are these Argus drones we covered. And of course, it was a development, I believe, from DARPA at 1.8 gigapixels. And we looked at that. They could surveil 24/7 over any geological area. They just keep the camera going. They're archiving it all. And then they can just zoop, hit the rewind button and see where everybody was at like a granular resolution. They could probably see a mosquito on your butt if they wanted to. It is that high res. But under Trump, things may look much worse, as if spying on countless people abroad weren't enough. Recently, for instance, he gave the CIA power to wage covert drone warfare, shielding important information on such operations simply by allowing the agency to carry out missions without first seeking authorization from the Pentagon. Now, Trump might well move on the NGA, hoping to boost national security by turning the agency's all-seeing eyes toward the American soil. And as the president hopes to get more money for defense, many have speculated whether he will start to use drones at home, especially since, oh God, running man, guys, especially since he has already suggested that he supports agencies like the NSA based on his desire to target terrorists. There is nothing that implies he wants to slow down the surveillance state, and the White House has expressed his desire to renew Obama-era spying powers, even as the president battles critics who deny his claim that his conversations were intercepted at the same time foreign nationals were under surveillance in 2016. And I want to add some stuff to that. Actually, you know what? That's what we're going to bounce to. After we finish the story, I want to talk about his accusations about being spied upon, because I came upon some interesting information, you know, that Kellyanne Conway was saying, well, you can get cameras in your microwave. And I mean, I don't know if this is the way she worded it. In the not too distant future, yeah, all your smart appliances are going to be spying on you. But she was not wrong. I mean, they made fun of her on late night TV and everything. And I'm not defending anyone in the White House. I don't really have any personal opinion. I think they're all about a bunch of buffoons. These people are just all punching each other in the face. And nobody's looking at the grand picture. But we have been spied upon by microwaves, not microwave ovens, microwaves, the frequency, in the frequency range of microwaves for a very long time. And there are some new plans out there. Camille, my listener Camille, sent me something pretty interesting I was digging into the other night. Still within the microwave range, some of this new stuff that they're going to be doing, potentially using a little bit higher bandwidth than like where our Wi-Fi lives. But they're able to do it from things such as satellite. They can even read your motions. We already found out Wi-Fi in the microwave range, because it is. Take a look at that spectrum diagram. Your cell phones are, your cordless phones are. They can see through walls in that spectrum range as well. Well, soon they'll be able to see through roofs. Read your motions. Tell what you're talking about. It's just beyond insane. So when they point and laugh, you know, because it really pisses me off that they're trying to make, like, anyone who's calling out being spied upon, like, ad nauseum, you're called a tinfoil hat-wearing lunatic. But guess what, people? We're not. It's everywhere. And it's so far advanced, they could see or hear anything. But they don't want you to know that. And even though there's all these leaks that have come out by whistleblowers inside, they're going to tell you that there's no way to prove that it's true, that you shouldn't be reading those, that it's illegal, whatever, don't look at those, and it's too hard for your brain to understand anyway. We'll tell you what to believe, and it's all in the name of national security anyway. I mean, it's just so disturbing. So anyway, all right. A partially redacted March 2016 report released by the Pentagon revealed that drones had already been used domestically on about 20 or fewer occasions. We remember it was to catch a cow the one time, and I remember what the other one was. Although some of these operations mostly involved natural disasters, National Guard training, search and rescue missions. Yeah, that was the cow in Nebraska. And quotes from the Air Force Law Review and article found their way into the report. And in it, Don M.K. Zoldy, not M.K. Ultra, M.K. Zoldy, wrote that the technology designed to spy on targets abroad could soon be used on American citizens. As the nation winds down these wars, she says, the report claims, and assets become available to support other combatant commands or U.S. agencies, the appetite to use them in the domestic environment to collect airborne imagery continues to grow. Up until 2015, oversight was so loose that the capabilities provided by the DOD's unmanned aircraft system were not under scrutiny by any other agency at all. And without statutes that specify the rules of such federal government agencies and what they should follow, watchdogs find it hard to keep track of them. But would it be any better if there were an agency or a branch of the same government overseeing what the government itself is doing? Right. That is the fox watching the hen house. That's pretty much what we're at right now. As fears grow that Trump will revamp the NGA, domestic stories of police departments using drones to spy on locals are also resurfacing. And we read about a few of those as well. There was a case. Some of those most highly publicized instances involved Baltimore and Compton, where police departments deployed aerial surveillance technology without issuing a warrant or seeking authorization from local or state lawmakers, and with a precedent already set. And right, they've been weaponizing them as well. The president might as well ignite a new fight, in his continued effort to fight a war against an imaginary, impossible-to-target enemy. After all, he is not a stranger to scandals and likely wouldn't feel overwhelmed one bit if he decided to turn on the country's ultra-high-definition cameras and turn them toward his citizens. Guys, Running Man, just watch that movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, based on a story by Stephen King back from when I was a kid. It's going to happen. As you're a fugitive and you are being chased by HD Argus drones and broadcast real-time on your Clear Channel Entertainment digital billboards all along the highways, as well as your cable networks, like the Coliseum. Anyway, with Americans seldom showing any interest for important violations of privacy or even basic human rights here or abroad, it is easy to see how this massive spying agency could end up getting a total carte blanche to do whatever it wants once Trump realizes he has the power to order it be done. And after all, who will pressure Congress to stop him? Well, guess what? Nobody. And there are all no rules. So, guys, put on a seatbelt because technology is already running the show. And then add to that all the mad science we talk about every single day that's coming out of the military-industrial complex. And then look at the stuff that we've been looking at over the last 2 weeks of how deep this history is. I'm really starting to feel pretty insignificant. I guess be aware. So get this. I saw something, too, that back a few years ago when Putin got reelected again, he had come out and made a statement about some of the future technologies that he was planning on working on, and some of that was mind control stuff. And I saw that in a couple different places. I was like, what? I mean, I know that they've already decided that they're going to technologically war with us. And we've been looking at these frequencies, and we read yesterday or the day before about the United States back, I don't even remember what decade it was, but back a while ago, maybe the 70s, had accused Russia of beaming our embassy in Russia with microwaves. And it started a lot of our military research into microwaves and whether or not they could create any issues with the mind or do mind reading or mind control or and the voice of God type stuff. Well, get this. This is from December 17, 2013. Out of RT News. Billion-dollar race. Soviet Union vied with U.S. in mind control research. Competing with the U.S. during the arms race, the Soviet Union put extensive effort into unconventional research seeking to outflank its rival in understanding behavior control, remote influencing, and parapsychology, a new survey has revealed. The survey published by Cornell University Library is based on open scientific and journalistic materials and provides a new overview of unconventional research in the USSR and its then predecessor, Russia, in the period between 1917, ding, 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 right in the same time period as we have Bell Labs doing crazy stuff, and 2003 as compared to the USA. The report by Sergey Kurzbach showed that unconventional weapons took the scientists in both countries to areas bordering on sci-fi, which nowadays would be seen in TV programs featuring things such as UFOs, supernatural, and superpowers. But due to the Iron Curtain, Soviet and American scientists knew little about each other's secret work. Still, they focused on some of the same themes. And in the Soviet Union, among the areas of particular interest were, for example, quote, the impact of weak and strong electromagnetic emissions on biological objects, quantum entanglement in macroscopic systems, non-local signal transmission based on the Abramov-Bohm effect, and the human operator phenomenon, unquote. Soviet scientists were developing a field they dubbed as psychotronics, ding, ding, ding. You'll get a Cupid doll. And the country spent between $500 million on research on the phenomenon. Kurzbach, who works at the Research Center of Advanced Robotics and Environmental Science in Stuttgart, Germany, found this out. Some of the programs in psychotronic research, and it makes you even wonder if Germany could have been involved. Maybe some of the Russian scientists got those people when they split them up after the war. Some of the programs in psychotronic research, even those launched decades ago, have still not been officially published. For instance, documents on experiments performed even after 80 years ago still remain classified. Well, that's got to make you wonder why. Because I'm telling you, there's something to all of this. According to the survey, Soviet and American areas of interest often mirrored each other. And I just got bumped off that page. Here we go back again. That was weird. It just jacked me off that page. Mirrored each other in particular. Kurzbach recalls the CIA's scandalous human research program, MKUltra, which involved the use of various methods to manipulate an individual's mental state and alter their brain functions. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. As mentioned in the public comments, the program to some extent was motivated by the corresponding Russian program with similar strategies to use psychotropic substances in technical experiments.